Well, now it is obvious that for some of you, a reach across and a handshake is enough. For others, you actually have to physically get up and move. We can see that here this morning. My name is Kevin Osnick, and I am one of the elders here at Davisville. And would you join me in prayer as we begin? Father, this morning we lift up our praise to you. Lord, we recognize your blessings and your goodness and your sovereignty. We recognize your word today, and we thank you for who you are and what you have provided to your world. And yet, Father, we recognize that in our world today that there's expressions of sinfulness all around us. And we've been reminded of that this week as we think of this conflict in Ukraine and the conflict as it spills over into Europe. And Father, we realize that there are millions of people that are on the move today. And Father, we would pray for protection. We would pray, Father, that you would give global leaders the ability to come together and, Father, to find resolutions to difficult situations. Father, we recognize that what we've seen in Europe this week is only a microcosm of what we see throughout the world almost on a daily basis. And Father, we pray that your church will have boldness to be able to live our lives in such a way that people who are on the move, Father, come in contact with you. Father, we pray for faithfulness, we pray for strength, and we pray for boldness in our lives. And now, Father, as we step into your word, may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I get to introduce myself a second time this morning, yes, as an elder, but also as the executive director for World Team US. And this morning on a Global Emphasis Sunday, an Outreach Sunday, it's my privilege to go and open God's Word to you. But first, I just want to thank Davisville for your partnership with World Team over the years. You have been a church that has prayed. We've been a church that has given. We have been a church that have shared our resources, both our human resources and also our financial resources, to see the gospel shared throughout this globe. We have an emphasis in Cambodia that unless you have just failed to listen, it is right there in front of you here at Davisville. But this morning what we want to do is to introduce to you a new partnership that World Team has with Davisville. And in just a few minutes, we're going to introduce to you the members of that partnership. But before we do so, I'd like you to take a look at God's Word with me. If you have been involved in the church for any length of time, and scripture memory has been part of your normal habit, one of the verses that most of us learn and we want to learn quickly is John chapter 17, verse 11. You know what that verse is? It's an easy one. I know you can memorize it before we leave here this morning. John 17, 11 is Jesus wept. And we can all memorize that one. Now, if that is the shortest verse in the Bible, then the shortest chapter in the Bible is found in Psalm 117. And in fact, Psalm 117 is not only the shortest chapter in the Bible, it's the shortest psalm. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is to look at Psalm 117, but don't let this fool you. Because it's a short psalm does not necessarily mean it's going to be a short message. Psalm 117. Derek Kidner, in his commentary on Psalm 117, says this. This is a psalm that expresses faith, which is great, and reach, which is enormous. Faith, which is great, and reach, which is enormous. Psalm 117 is one of the Hallel Psalms. There are three separate collections in the Psalms that are Hallel Psalms. These are Psalms that reach out to praise or to recite what God has done in Israel's life and then recognizing God's blessing upon our lives. The first of these Hallel Psalms, the Great Hallel, is found in Psalm 120 through 136. And these were the songs that were recited during the pilgrimage of Israel, whether it was going up to Israel, to Jerusalem, for one of the annual feasts, or one of the pilgrimages that someone would make. They would recite the Hallel Psalms, God's greatness. The Psalter is closed out with Psalm 146 through 150 with a set of Hallel Psalms. So in those five Psalms, you'll find that same type of expression of God's greatness. What we're looking at this morning is Psalm 117, which is found right in the middle of what they call the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. And this comes out of Psalm 114, which talks about what God has done through Israel and supporting Israel as they left Egypt. And so in the first part of these psalms, Psalm 113 and 114, they were all often used as the liturgy around Passover. So those would have been the psalms that would have been sung prior to the Passover meal. Psalm 115 through 118 would have been the songs that would have been sung after the Passover meal. And so it is quite likely when we read over in Matthew 26 or Mark 14, where Jesus and his disciples, at the end of the Passover meal, sang a song before they got up and left, these would have been the psalms, and Psalm 117 would have been one of those that they would have sung at that time. So what I'd like us to do this morning is, I'd like us to read this psalm together. It was meant to be read together and to be expressed. And so let's read it together. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. As you go and listen to that psalm, as you read that psalm, there's something that sort of wells up within us, isn't it? It's a psalm that focuses on God. And the first striking characteristic or feature that you see out of this psalm is the fact that the psalmist calls all nations and all peoples to lift up praise. Notice that. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Extol him, all ye peoples. But the question is, what is praise? What is praise? Well, it's a concept to make something clear. It's a concept that reaches out to say we're going to boast of something. It's to give glory. And so here the psalmist says, praise the Lord, to give glory to the Lord, to go and lift up all that he has done, for his attributes, for his holiness, for his mercy, for his justice, as you'd find over in 2 Chronicles, or for his grace, as we find in Ephesians 1, or for his goodness in Psalm 135, or for his faithfulness, as we see in Psalm 117 here, or for his salvation, which we see in Ephesians chapter 2. In fact, I would think that there's virtually no end to the things that we, as God's people, can praise him for on a daily basis. But notice the expression, to whom are we to go and praise? And here the psalmist is very clear as well. It's expression of praise to the Lord. For the Israelites, it would have been to Jehovah, the Jewish name for God, the self-existent one, the eternal one, the only wise God. And so we see this first feature that all nations are to go and lift up that praise. And the second feature is just that, that all nations, all people, are to praise God. The word nation here is referred to that which was the non-Jewish population. The word is goy. It means the Gentiles. And so all nations, all Gentile nations. And the word people talks here about ethnic groups, all people everywhere, the subcategories that make up those nations, that all people are to go and lift up and to glorify God. And this is how God is praised. You know, there's an example of this that we find in Scripture, and that's back in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, where there will be a day, around the throne of God, all peoples will be represented, all nations will be represented in the glory of God. Revelation 4:11 says, and what are they going to say? It's going to be, you are worthy, our God and Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they were created, and they have their being. How is this made possible? How is it that all nations and all peoples will be gathered to glorify God? Well, in Revelation 5, it gives us that answer. In referring to Jesus Christ, it says, because you, referring to Jesus Christ, were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe, every language, every nation, every people. You see, it's through the work of Jesus Christ that it is possible that every nation and every people group can come to faith to worship him, to go and lift up and carry out what the psalmist says here, that they should praise the Lord. All people everywhere can come to praising God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. That was God's plan all along. It's how we find God approaching Abraham and Genesis chapter 12. And there in Genesis 12, he talks about making Abraham a blessing to all nations. Now, this is not universalism. What is universalism? It's the belief that there are many ways to God, or that all religions lead to God, or that everyone will find God in their own way. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is something that Jesus Christ himself said that makes Christianity very exclusive. You see, Jesus said the only way to God is through himself, John 14:6. Now, John 14:6, another verse to memorize. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no person comes to the Father except through me. That's an exclusive claim. That's an exclusive claim. No one can come to the Lord, Jehovah, the only wise God, except through Jesus Christ. You see, true Christian universalism is not that everyone will get to God, but that those who place their faith in Jesus Christ can have access to God. And that universalism comes by the fact that there will be those from every tribe, every tongue, every nation who will go and find him and be able to glorify him and someday be around his throne. Praising the Lord and praising him enthusiastically, as the psalmist calls them to do. Now, the verse also tells us why we should be praising the Lord. In verse 2, it provides us for the reason for praising the Lord, because of his great love and his faithfulness. Notice that? For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. That phrase, love and faithfulness, became a key phrase in Israel's post-exilic time, or after they had left Egypt, in that community. In Exodus 34:6, Moses, after receiving those second tablets, remember the first ones he smashed because of the sin of Israel? The second time God inscribed on those tablets, Moses had received them. And his statement to God was this: the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. And that concept was carried out then throughout Israel in the Old Testament. In fact, David uses it over in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, where as he is there to go and bring praise to God for bringing the Ark of the Covenant together down and having it placed in its location there, he turns around and he sings a praise to God. And throughout that psalm, what he does is he talks about God's love and God's faithfulness to Israel. In fact, the very next psalm, Psalm 118, the first four verses, four times it talks about God's love and that his love endures forever, as it does in verse 29 of that same psalm. So what is God's love for us? Well, here's another verse to memorize, and you know this one. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, or life eternal. What is God's love? God's love is the essence of who he is and the fact that he cared for us, that he would be willing to send his Son to die for us. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except through me. That is God's love. It's action. It's drawing sinners to himself so that they can spend eternity with a loving and caring God. But notice here it says God's great love toward us. God's great love. When we define great, we think in terms of something that's large or something that is remarkable or something that's superior. The word here for great is a little different. For the Jewish reader, the word really talks about prevailing. There's an illustration of this in Moses' life, again, using Moses as an example, but over in Exodus 17, remember when the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites, and as they were in the battle, as long as Moses held his hands in the air, it says there that the Israelites were winning the battle. The word winning there means prevailing. It's overcoming adversity that is there. In Psalm 65:3, it talks about when we are overwhelmed by sin. The word overwhelmed is prevail, the same word that's used here, great. When that we're feeling that heaviness, when everything is overcome by sin, it says there that you have forgiven our transgressions. The point is that God's love is a prevailing triumph over the obstacles and the situations and the enemies of our life. The King James Version writes it this way, "For his merciful kindness is great toward us." I think that's what the Apostle Paul was thinking in Romans chapter 8, when he asked the question, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then he goes and he lists off these things. He says, "All things, we are more than conquerors through whom he loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor present, nor future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, the love of Christ prevails over all of those things in our lives. The great love of Christ. But notice the second reason is that faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. And what is faithfulness? Well, we think of it as being steadfast or loyal or devoted. But in Scripture, it really is the word amen. Faithfulness is amen. It's that which Jesus said when he said verily, verily, or truly, truly. It really means so be it. It is true. You know, we could all almost restate that last phrase by this. We could say it this way. The truth of the Lord endures forever. We use that term in the sense of God, that he is faithful. What is he faithful? His attributes are faithful. His attributes are true. His character is inherent part of who God is. In Isaiah 65:16, it says that God is truth. We could restate it, God is the amen. But then we use it as we use amen to express our agreement with what God says. And so the psalmist says that God is love and he is truth and it endures forever. It's interesting, we could take this verse 2, and we could say it this way. Great is his love toward us and his love endures forever. Great is his faithfulness toward us and his faithfulness endures forever. And the psalmist bookends it by saying, praise the Lord. How do we apply that this morning on this Outreach Sunday? Well, I think we can apply Psalm 117 in a number of ways. The first obvious way is the fact that as we gather together, we are lifting up our expressions of adoration to God as his people. And if we have never recognized, and if you are here this morning or listening, and you've never recognized that God has provided through Jesus Christ salvation to you, this is the morning to be able to reach out and recognize his love for you and all that he's done on the cross. And for those of us who know Jesus Christ and love God and want to worship and recognize and glorify him, it's our opportunity on a daily basis to recognize who he is and what he has done for us and to be able to lift up those praises in song and as we read his word. But there's another application that can be found in these verses, and that application is this, that today, around us, God desires that all nations and all peoples lift up glory to him. And today we see people moving around the globe, some by choice and others by necessity, some by opportunity and others just to survive. And this week was an illustration of what that movement looked like in the situation in Ukraine. On Wednesday, I received information that one of our teams, World Team, has teams in Moldova, were sitting there waiting for approximately what they were thinking about 10,000 refugees coming over the border. As of Wednesday, there were 90,000 refugees coming over the border at that one location. Do the math. what we see is God is moving and shifting and moving people. The situation in Eastern Europe is tragic and heartbreaking, but it is not the first time, nor it will be the last time, that we see such people movement. And over the years, men and women, boys and girls, singles and families, have all had to relocate for various reasons. And today, with unprecedented global migration trends that are taking place, there are a number of unreached, unengaged peoples right here in the United States. These are opportunities for spiritual conversations, because you see, when people are moving and when they're faced with a different culture and a different society and a different people group around them, they are open for spiritual conversations. They are open for those conversations. And people often, as we have the ability to converse with them and to begin to build relations. Currently today, we estimate there's about approximately 80-plus unreached people groups in the United States. And they are individuals that, because of their desire to go and reach out to their God, have not yet heard about the true and living God in Jesus Christ. And here at Davisville, what we are doing is we're seeing that God is working at work in the world, and people are moving and fleeing and gathering. God is still at work in the hearts of his people to go and bring the good news to nations and people around us. Behind me here is a group, and I'm going to go and ask Michelle Matzik to introduce them to you, but I'm just going to give by name. We have Michelle, and we have Gwen Rapp right here, and we have another Michelle here, so it's, I guess, Michelle 1, Michelle 2, Michelle 3, if we're going to do that. And then we have Jake McKenzie, and they are part of a program, a project that we've developed called The Inn, the International Neighborhood Network. And this morning we want to introduce Davisville's partnership to that. Michelle?
Good morning. As you know, Jesus says in Matthew 28, Kevin quoted so many wonderful scriptures, but in Matthew 28, Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And that is a command that Davisville has taken very seriously for many, many years. And that's why we're super excited to introduce you to two more partners. We currently have approximately 40 organizations, individuals, and families that we financially support here. And Gwen and Jake and Michelle are two of our newest. Gwen serves with The Inn, and she is the team leader for the Metro Philly area. She comes alongside churches, individuals, organizations that want to serve the refugee and immigrant community. And Jake and Michelle, they have three young daughters. They work in Camden, and they have been they've been there since last May, and they have been working to build relationships in their neighborhood and community as well. So welcome. It's so good to have you with us this morning. We love for you to get to know Gwen and Jake and Michelle. So I'm going to ask them if you would start by just sharing your story and how you came to be a part of The Inn.
Sure. It is great to be here with you all this morning. Thank you so much for all the prayers and the ways that you've already come alongside to partner with us this past year. My name is Gwen, and I'd like to say that I came into World Team backwards. I'm not someone who had ever envisioned being a part of a mission agency as a worker on the ground. My background is in business and in higher education and some community development. And I'd looked for ways to use those skill sets and giftings and passions to serve God in small ways through my church or just in my neighborhood. But a couple years ago, God started to stir much deeper in my heart with an invitation to participate more heavily in disciple-making myself, which was a little intimidating because I'm not gifted in evangelism. I think I scored that lowest, I think, in all of the spiritual gifts when I did a test last year. And yet, the more I looked at God's heart for the people in my community and the people around the world, the more I couldn't help but respond with open hands and a little timid faith, but a desire to really follow that. And after several months of discerning and praying and exploring what God was doing in my community, but also around the world, God connected me to World Team. And fast forward to here we are today. I am serving as a worker in Philadelphia.
Yeah. There we go. So Michelle and I, when we first got married, it was a little over 9 years ago, we both knew that we loved God, loved people, and knew that we would be in ministry in some capacity or another. So we got a job at Christ Home for Children, which I know most of you are aware of, right there in Warminster. And we saw in the course of about 4 years that we were there, a lot of kids give their life to Christ. I think a teacher and a caseworker gave their life to Christ. So when we were there, God was just doing really sweet things. And someone from World Team actually approached us, and they go to our church. So we had lots of conversations with them about the inn, which you guys are going to hear today. So as we were there at Christ Home, we were hearing, you know, I think you guys would do great at this in the inn. Please pray about it. And we're like, okay, you know, we'll pray for you guys, but we're not interested. So that's how God works. Isn't it funny? We kept praying, and the more we prayed, the more God revealed the need to share Jesus with refugees, with Hindus, Sikhs. Where am I at? Sorry, I'm blinking. I had a dream. Backtrack a little bit, sorry. So I had this dream, and Michelle and I made it very clear, you know, we don't want to join unless God makes it abundantly clear that we should leave Christ Home. So I have this dream, and in this dream, there's an angel that appears to me in a field and says, Jacob, I want you and your family to share with refugees about the Lord your God. And so when we woke up, we were like, okay, I think we need to join the inn and see where God wants to take us. So we have been there in Camden County since last May, and we were raising our support. We are part-time, but we want to be full-time. So
I have a question. What are you, the three of you, seeing taking place amongst our new neighbors in Philadelphia and in Camden these days?
A lot of things. But I think, you know, we mentioned the migration of peoples from all over the world to right here. But I must say, in this last year, I have been so surprised at how my perspective of Philadelphia has shifted. I mean, my experiences of Philadelphia growing up were field trips to the zoo or to the historic sections of Philly, begging my parents to stop for a cheesesteak on the way home, maybe going to a sports game here or there, or doing yoga with my college friends under the Ben Franklin Bridge, stuff like that. And this past year, as we were discerning where we would serve and what ministry in Philadelphia would look like, I just was shocked to drive through particularly Northeast and see that just about every neighborhood has its own mosque, let alone other types of places of worship. And to hear stats like 50% of kids under the age of 5 in Northeast live in a home where English is not the first language spoken. And that's just Northeast, but you'll hear similar stats like that across the city and in the surrounding suburbs, including Camden County. And, you know, we kind of find we had anticipated serving initially among Muslim background peoples in Camden County as well. And we come to find that New Jersey has the second largest Indian population in the United States, and a large proportion of them are right in Voorhees, New Jersey. And it's a community that Jake and Michelle have connected into, and they're primarily Sikh and Hindu. So you're finding these significant populations everywhere. And as we're getting to know our international neighbors, we're discovering that some of them came here by choice to serve as business professionals or to make a better life, but many of them, you know, came in the form of refugees or asylum seekers and are longing for basic things like community and are looking for welcome and just assistance in, you know, getting their feet under them to make a home in the future. And most of them have never been welcomed into an American home, let alone offered just a hand of friendship, including among the body of Christ. So those are some of the things we're seeing. But we're also seeing, and you guys are a big part of this, we're also seeing the local church, especially this summer in response to the Afghan crisis, to step up and to begin actively praying around the communities and looking for ways to use the resources, the time, the giftings of their communities to serve this growingly diverse, increasingly diverse population around us. So that there's a need, mm-hmm. but there's also really cool things that the body of Christ is doing as they're praying and seeking to follow God and ministering to the communities around them.
So we know relationship is really important when we want to influence people to follow Jesus. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like? How are you building relationship in order to hopefully have spiritual conversations down the road?
I'll start and then you can follow. So honestly, it's not complicated. It literally has come down, if I had to sum it up, it being available. And really starting each day by just praying, God, help me to see what opportunities you're opening up, and then looking for those and being available to respond when it comes up. There's one of my favorite stories is this fall, I was working at a project day. I was up in my office. I was making great headway, and I just felt this nudge and to go for a walk. And I was like, it's pretty out, but you know, if I just keep my head down, I can get this done today. And the nudge wouldn't go away. So I finally said, all right, I'm going on a 15-minute walk. I'm just going to walk around the block, and I'll be back. And I leave my house, and I'm walking around the backside of my block, and I see this woman in a headscarf, and there's another Muslim woman on the side with a young child. She's standing in the middle of the road with jumper cables. And so as I get closer, she's clearly not at peace, or she's a little anxious, and I come to find she's been standing in the road for a while just waiting for someone to stop and help her with her car. And so I just said, hi, I said, I live around the block. Give me a second, I'll go grab my car. And I'm thinking, I have a Prius, I have no idea how to jump this car. but she's like, that sounds great. So I'm like calling my friend on the way to my house, like, how do I jump this Prius? And which it didn't end up working, but I did end up getting to take her to pick up her son from school, and then came back and had a wonderful conversation with her, completely unexpected, around everything from what the neighborhood is like to where do you like to go on walks to things of faith. And this was all in the first conversation. She and her family are from Palestine and are seeking community. And she's one of my closest friends now in Northeast, and it's just about being available.
Is this on? Okay. So for us, moving to a new area, Jake decided that he was going to try a new sport. So we saw in the area there was a park that had a cricket pitch, and so he's like, I guess people play cricket in this area. So he found a group of guys who were playing cricket, and he asked them to teach him how to play cricket. So now he's starting his second season of playing cricket with like 40 Indian guys, and he is the only white guy on the team. but they love teaching him how to play. So he has been able to connect with some of the guys through that and have spiritual conversations and develop relationships during practices and games and things like that. So I am home with our three children most all the time, all the days. And so we just make it a point and are very intentional about going to the park at different times during the day, during the week, and things like that. And keeping our eyes open, like Gwen said, being available and being intentional also about where we go to the park and when I go to the park, I don't just let them play and sit there by myself, but I make it a point to talk to people. And that kind of surprises a lot of people. Sharing one of our quick connections, I was at the park with the girls while Jake was playing cricket, and it was a hot July day, and we're exhausted and ready to go home. He just finished his game. And so we're like, all right, girls, let's go home. And down the hill into the park walks a family. And the husband has a turban on and the wife has a scarf over her head. And Jake and I like look at each other and we're like, okay, God, I guess we're staying for a little bit longer. I hope the kids don't lose their minds. And so just having eyes to see the people that are around us who I wouldn't always go out of my way. I am an introvert, so for me to like sit at the park and talk to people intentionally is totally a God thing. I am not an evangelist. I would never call myself an evangelist. But to just say, hey, like, how long have you been here? Are you from, I noticed the family that we connected with, they're speaking a different language, and asked what language they were speaking, and it led to a conversation about where from India they're from. And we've just been able to continue those conversations to the point where me and the girls have had 5 or 6 play dates with this family, and we just continue to have these spiritual conversations and just everyday conversations, being friends with them. And she doesn't really have any other friends who, like, people that she connects with in her neighborhood or who have gone out of the way to say hi to her at the park or anything. So that's how we've been connecting and building relationships.
So relationships are important. And as you look ahead to this next year, what would be your hope to see as God's working in this ministry? And maybe what are some of the unique ways that Davisville can support your ministry this next year?
So one of the things that God has really blessed this year, this past year, has been making many connections among the diaspora communities, the international communities in Philadelphia. And I would say the same thing in Camden County. And one of the things that we are really praying for are people who would say, I have 3 hours this week, and maybe 3 hours one evening or one afternoon a week to come and to build a relationship with a family, whether it's going on a walk with me on the local trail every Wednesday morning or participating in our Friday night barbecues in the community garden. But these communities are very highly relational, and so a friend said this yesterday, and it's so true. Muslims spell love T-I-M-E. And so repeated consistency in relationship and friendship is really what speaks and shows the love of Jesus to these communities. And then from there, they soften to the truth of the gospel.
So we are, because Jake's gearing up for cricket again, we're seeking ways to connect with the families of the guys that he's been playing with. So we're starting kind of a new thing this summer to just invite the kids out to the park. Their families haven't really come to the park when we've been there, so we're inviting families and kids out to the park for just some games and activities and things. And we're connecting our local churches in and asking them to sponsor some of these times for the kids in the park to bring out some of their families to connect with our new friends and things. But then we're also hoping that some people, not super local, but can come down for, you know, a Saturday a month or something and kind of join with us and just seek to have conversations with our friends or play games, throw a ball with some of the kids that come out and connect with our families that way, and so that they can see the body of Christ, not just from the local church, but also from somebody coming a little bit further as well.
Great. Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing a little bit about your ministry, your heart. It's been great to have you as a part of our Davisville family. We at Davisville also stepped into some refugee service at the end of last year. For those of you who may not know, we have a building at the back of our property called the Quad, and that building has 4 apartments that house missionaries when they're here on home assignment. So we decided to take one of those empty apartments and open it up to 2 different families who were able to stay. One was from Sudan and one was from Afghanistan. We pulled together a small team pretty quickly of people who could come alongside this family, providing some meals, helping with some pre-things before the family arrived, shopping for some clothing. And then when the family arrived, we came around them even more, teaching them how to use the washer and just acclimating to life in the United States. And we are so thankful for that small team that came together. Linda Mathewson was one of those people, and she just had a very pivotal role in this experience with both of these families. So we asked if she would share just a short little bit about her experience, and this is via video with Pastor Matt. So let's watch.
Hey, Davisville family. One of our core commitments here at the church is to share the good news of Jesus with people who have little to no access to hear about the name of Jesus. Now, in the past, that would mean traveling to another country or a foreign land. However, God is moving the nations all around the world, even in our own backyard. Now, a few months ago, we were presented with an opportunity to come alongside refugee families and help them in the resettlement process of finding new life here in the States. As we shared this story with our church family, we had over 25 plus people jump up and say, hey, I want to help out in this. So as a result, what we did is designate one of our apartments here on the campus for refugee work and helping them transition and resettle here in the States. And along the way, God led us to two beautiful families. One was a mother and son from Sudan, while the other was a family of six from Afghanistan. And we soon realized that we were a small part of their story. And since then, they have moved on in their resettlement journey, but it has been a huge blessing to be a part of their story, a story of hope, where we were able to love them in the name of Jesus. And so sitting beside me here, I have Linda Mathewson, who was a big part of that experience in welcoming those families and helping them transition and resettle here in the States. And I want to have Linda share a little bit of her experience with you as she walked through that. So Linda, tell us a little bit of why this was an important work for you to be a part of.
Well, it kind of came as a surprise. God just opened a door and an opportunity, and Paul and I were willing and available, and we had the privilege of getting to know these two families, and it was such a blessing to me and to Paul to be able to drive for them, to shop with them, to show them how to work the washing machine, just very simple things that we all take for granted. We participated in a perspectives class many years ago, and it just really changed our perspective of how God loves all people. And he opened our eyes that we are to love him, and we are to love his people. And I just really have leaned on those two things, along with trusting the Lord with all my heart and not worrying about what I understand or don't understand, but just letting him direct my paths. And he's just opened these doors for opportunities to serve him by just befriending these people who are in part on their journey of hope. And it's just, it's been wonderful to see.
Yeah. So what are some things that you learned along the way of helping these families?
Well, I learned that you can serve without knowing their language. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's hard, but it's not impossible. Google Translator is really helpful. It was really helpful with the Afghan family, but with the family from Sudan, the son could speak a little bit of English, which was such a blessing, because we don't know how we would have communicated with mom without it, because Google Translator doesn't have their language. So we just learned how to non-verbally love each other. We took them to a store, and Michelle Kelly went off with the son, and I had Nariak in the women's clothing, and not knowing where to begin, we started going through dresses, and she was able to communicate to me she wanted skirts. And so we went to the skirts, and we're going through the rack and picking out certain ones. And she picked out this bright miniskirt and held it up and wiggled her hips. And, you know, it was just, it kind of broke the ice that she was comfortable just joking around. And we just kind of bonded, and really very quickly became friends.
Yeah. And you talked about perspective. You shared a story about one Sunday morning being here worshiping next to the mother and son from Sudan, and just how that kind of gave you a big picture of heaven. What was that like?
It really did feel like just a little bit of what heaven might feel like. We were worshiping. Bobby was leading worship, and Gier was standing next to me, and he was singing in English, and Neri Ack was kind of humming and singing in her own language, and then during the prayer, she was praying, and it was just, it just made me feel like in heaven there's going to be all these beautiful people and all these beautiful languages, and it just made me feel comfortable within that setting where I thought, you know, oh, I'm taking them to church, you know, I don't know what to do and I don't know what to say, you know, but we don't have to say anything.
Yeah. And you got to be a part of kind of ushering that heaven-like experience here on earth. So that's great. So how would you suggest to someone that might want to get involved in something like this, what are some things that you might tell them to do or to consider?
Well, pray about it, but basically, if you're willing and you're available, there's so many things that needs to be done when they come. Driving, going to appointments, shopping, setting up the apartment, cleaning in between families. There's so many little things that it doesn't take skill, it just takes availability and a willingness.
Well, thanks, Linda, for sharing your story. And in church, we're committed to taking steps down this road, and we will be sharing opportunities as they come up. But I would challenge you to, just as Linda has shared, are you willing and available to be used by God in this kind of work? And so stay tuned as we share those opportunities in the coming weeks and months ahead.
I had the privilege as well of serving on that small team with Linda, and it really was a privilege. You felt like you were doing something to help somebody else, and we were, but boy, they gave us probably more than we actually gave them. They just taught us so much about persevering through adversity, and they have had a lot of that. And they taught us about generosity, and they taught us about hospitality, and just we would go over there to serve them, and they wanted us to stay and have a meal and have tea, and they just wanted to take care of us. It was really a neat experience. So as Matt said, we would love for you to consider possibly thinking about what your role could be. Would you want a role? And I just want to walk through a couple possible options for you if your heart is being stirred and you're just thinking through this. First, everybody in this room can do this first one, and that is just to pray. We would really ask that you would commit to prayer. Gwen and the McKinsey's World Team, the Inn, even if you set a reminder on your phone, maybe once a week to be doing that. We ask that you pray for these communities of people in Philadelphia and in Camden. Pray that God would open their hearts to hearing our hope that we have in Christ and building relationships. We also would love for you to consider serving with Gwen and the McKinsey's. They will be right outside those doors. There is a table there. They would love to talk with you more, even if you just want to find out a little more about what that could potentially look like. You're not committed. You are just hearing more. Maybe get on their email list so you can have some more specifics of how to pray. We also will have some other one-off opportunities throughout the year. If serving weekly or monthly is not really what you're able to do at this point, we often will have drives, clothing drives, or collections, and we'll keep you posted about that. We also are really looking to build that team of people that we had with Linda with the quad here. We would love to come around some more families. That requires a team of people who are committed to being available to go to doctor's appointments and to help teach the families how to turn the heat on and turn the heat off and use the washing machine and the dryer, things like that. If you are interested at all in being a part of that or just learning more about what that could look like, we would love to have you. We will be having a meeting on March 20th at 6:30 here at Davisville. We have Jared Smith. He works with the Refugee Resettlement Program, and he's just going to come and talk about what it could look like for Davisville to come around a family for perhaps a longer period of time. The families that we helped in the fall, those were very short-term, and we would love to do something a little bit more long-term. So check the hub, sign up. That's March 20th. And finally, as I started, I mentioned Matthew 28 and going and making disciples. This is Jesus' command. And we as his church, we are the plan. There is no plan B. So if this is something new to you, maybe you are just not really familiar with this whole idea of the unreached or this idea of global outreach and missions, or maybe you are really familiar with it. Maybe you've been around church for a really long time and you are just ready to take the next step of what that might look like to help influence people to follow Jesus. I would encourage you to sign up for our learning community. We are going to have a learning community that starts March 27th. It's called Momentum Yes. It's a video and discussion-based class where we are just going to delve into what it looks like to take that next step. You will have an opportunity to rethink church, your neighbors, to have just a different perspective when you read your Bible. And though, again, will be more information on the hub. Hopefully you're catching that today. The hub is the place to go to get all this information, and we would love to have you be a part of that class. So if you have any questions, that was a lot of information at the end here. I will be right outside those doors as well at the Global Outreach Corner. I would love to talk to you more, answer any questions you may have, and hopefully get you started and serving in maybe something that could be new for you and a new experience. Thank you.